most of the fada'il, most of the excellences and the ahadith that we have with her regard in our books, they are also to be found at times even more abundantly and copiously in the books of the Ahlus Sunnah. So from Bukhari to Muslim to Tirmidhi to Nasa'i, when you come to Tafsir, Zamakhshari, Fakhruddin Razi, Tha'labi, Suyuti, two of the most common narrations that you will find, one is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says Fatima is Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen, that she is the leader of all the women of all times in the universe. This is widely quoted by Shia and Sunni scholars. The other very common narration that you will find quoted by Shia and Sunnis is again the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, that says that the most excellent women of all ever created by Allah are four: Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, and then Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the first and most beloved wife of the Prophet himself, and of course Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen. And this again is very widely quoted. In fact, in particular, there are certain verses of Quran you will find this being argued very strongly by the non-Shias. Just as an example, in Surah Al-Imran, verse 42, Allah praises the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Maryam, and he says that Allah sent the angels to Maryam to say, Ya Maryam, inna Allah astafaki wa taharaki wa astafaki ala nisa'il alameen. O Maryam, Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of all the world. The Mufassirun, not the Shias, the non-Shias have made a point to argue that Maryam was Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen only for her time, and even in that she was not more excellent than Fatima. This is not the Shias arguing. Then of course, Quran, when we talk of the ayat of Tathir, we talk of the ayat of Mubahala, we talk of Surah Al-Dahar, overflowing with the fada'il of this great lady. Then we come to the hadith of the Prophet himself and the narrations in history in how he treated her different from how a father would treat his daughter. It was more than just love for a daughter. For example, when a daughter enters the room, the father does not stand up in respect for his daughter. The daughter should stand up in respect for the father. But the Prophet, peace be on him and his family, would stand up to receive this daughter of his and kiss her hands and make her sit beside him. And then Fatima tu bid'atum minni, Fatima is a piece of me. Man adaha fakad adani, whoever hurts Fatima hurts me. Whoever angers Fatima angers Allah. And then the hadith of the Prophet, the imams after me are 12 and they will all come through Fatima. And then the hadith of the Prophet, the Mahdi is from my descendants, his name shall be my name and he shall be from the descendants of Fatima alayhi salam. These are all common ahadith mentioned by Shia and Sunni scholars. Now, when we establish this as a premise, when we establish this as a basis, and when we bring this to the forefront of our thought, that this lady is not an ordinary lady, she is exceptional in the history of the world, that when Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to introduce his own prophet, he introduces him through her. He says, Hum Fatima wa abuha wa ba'luha wa banuha. When we understand her excellence, the question that comes to mind then is, why and how would history have denied the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam their right, knowing that it can only come through the descendants of Fatima alayhi salam? If it is so glaring, if it is so obvious, if this hadith is found in such abundance by all Muslims, then what went wrong? There must have been something. And there are obviously very many reasons we might look for in history to say those who had political ambitions, whether it was the Umayyads or whether it was the Abbasids or whether it is even today those who might be opposed to the school of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, in what way do they justify that anyone else could have had the right of successorship to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam besides the descendants of Fatima alayhi salam? In what way? I will just discuss three different plots, if you like, or three different ideas that were promoted amongst Muslims and spread amongst people to downplay the importance of this great lady, okay? To compromise the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed her with. The first argument is that a man can only be inherited and succeeded through his sons. Fatima, being a woman, cannot be a successor to the Prophet. Why? Isa alayhi salam is given to us as the descendant of Ishaq alayhi salam. Through whom? Through Maryam. So if Isa can descend from Ishaq and Ibrahim through Maryam, why can't the Imams descend through Ibrahim from Fatima alayhi salam? This was one argument. The second argument was that, na'udhu billah, Fatima alayhi salam, being a woman, was in some ways weak, because women tend to be emotional, and therefore by virtue of being a woman, what she stands for cannot be taken so seriously, because after all she is a woman. When I read the khutbah of Sayyida alayhi salam after the demise of her father, when she went to Masjid Nabawi and she addressed the Muslims, she said, "O Muslims, you are downtrodden, you are lowly people. Your neighbors were looking at you like vultures. You drank water from the side, from the gutters. You buried your daughters alive. You married your stepmothers. You had no values. You built idols of stone and wood and you prostrated yourself before that. Allah saved you through my father. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ شَفَىٰ حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا." You were on the brink of the pit of the fire, but he saved you through my father. When was this khutbah given? 11 AH. Go read Nahjul Balagha, Sermon 26. Imam Ali alayhi salam speaks, he quotes the same words of Fatim. "O people, you were lowly, you drank water by the side, you worship idols, you buried your daughters until Allah saved you through Muhammad." When did Imam Ali give khutbahs after he became the caliph of the Muslims? 37 AH. So Fatima's khutbah 11 age, Imam Ali's khutbah 37 at the earliest. The difference is what? 26 years. 26 years later, a man who says saluni, saluni, is quoting and taking and borrowing from Fatima alayhi salam. She cannot be an ordinary person. You cannot say she is emotional. This is knowledge that comes from a source beyond anyone's imagination. This was the other argument. And the third argument that was given was that this whole idea of being attached to the family of the Prophet is actually a Jahiliya idea. It comes from Ayyam Jahiliya. Why? Because pre-Islam, there was no concept of Muslim piety or of saying the most excellent amongst us is the most pious amongst us. It was based totally on tribalism, on what is called Asabiyya. So what the Shias have done is they have clung or held onto this tribalistic idea that we must attach to the family of the Prophet because tribe comes first. This idea is a modern argument, it's not so old, and it is largely pushed by the Wahhabis. It's not pushed by the Sunni Muslims, it is pushed by the Wahhabis who call themselves Salafis. What is most ironic is that Hijaz is ruled by a tribe and they have renamed the country to Saudi Arabia, Saudi Al Saud. Why do you not choose your leaders based on piety and taqwa and principles of Quran and Hadith? Human beings have come to this planet, billions and billions of human beings, and they exist today in billions and they will continue to exist. But when we look at the history of guidance, of divine guidance, of hidayah from Adam alayhi salam until this day, we see that Allah has insisted on only one lineage or one lineage across human history, only one. In the early prophets, there is a simple line that flows to Nuh and Idris and so on. But once it comes to Ibrahim alayhi salam, from Ibrahim alayhi salam, it is only the Isle of Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq. And then all the Anbiya alayhi salam flow from there. Why? This tells us that there is something special about this bloodline. It is not tribalistic. It is based on the purity of this line. It is based on what we recite in Ziyarat Warith. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ كُنْتَ نُورًا فِي الْأَصْلَابِ الشَّامِخَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ الْمُطَحَّرَةِ لَمْ تُنَجِّسْكَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةُ بِأَنْجَاسِهَا. I bear witness that you have been a noor that has flowed from one loin to another womb, to another loin, to another womb through history. You have not been touched by any form of ignorance. Nuh, the whole world drowns, but Nuh has to be saved because there is something in his blood. It is not recorded in any history that a man was thrown in fire and did not burn. But Ibrahim is thrown in the fire, he does not burn. Allah could have let him become shaheed and appointed another prophet from another line. But no, there is something in this, there is a noor in this line, in this family, that is flowing from before Adam. Ibrahim puts a knife on Ismail. If you put a knife on anyone's neck, rest assured it will not change into a lamb or a ram or a sheep. But Ismail has to be saved because there is something special about him. After Ibrahim alayhi salam, from his son Ishaq, he had a son called Yaqub. Yaqub had 12 sons, one of whom was Yusuf alayhi salam. So Yusuf is from Banu Israel. He is an Ibrahimi. He is from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah wants to send guidance to Egypt. Now here there is a dilemma. What I would do if I was God is I would create a prophet amongst the Egyptians. If Yusuf grows up into an adult and then goes to Egypt, they will not listen to him because they will say he's an outsider. So what Allah does is Yusuf falls into a well. He is taken as a slave while he is a young boy. He grows up amongst the nobles of the Egyptians. He becomes an adult amongst them so that they identify with him. He identifies with their culture. When he has gained their acceptance and won their confidence and they believe in him and in his integrity, then he tells them, "Stop worshipping idols," and they accept that message from him. There is something in this bloodline that Allah will take a child away from his family, hundreds of miles away, make him part of another community, and then make him a prophet. But he will not appoint a prophet from another bloodline. Hundreds and thousands of children are slaughtered by Fir'aun. But Musa is saved and raised in the palace of Fir'aun because there is something in him that flows in his veins. And we understand from this then, the association to the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is not political. It is not tribalism. It is not based on Jahiliyyah. It is based on looking at history and saying Allah has chosen one family and one line and He wishes guidance to remain in this line. Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 54, where Allah says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ. Are people envious? Are people jealous because of what He has given them? Now who are these them that He has given and what has He given them? فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. He has given the descendants of Ibrahim the book and wisdom, and He has given them a mighty dominion over people. And Imam Muhammad al-Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he says, we are Ali Ibrahim, and this Mulkan Azim is our imamat. But the point to remember here is that Allah is saying, are people jealous? I have given them book and wisdom. Who are you to say this is tribalism or this is this or that? But it is again not for every descendant of Ibrahim, because the Banu Umayyah could also say we are descendants of Ibrahim. The Banu Abbas could also say we are descendants of Ibrahim. Ibrahim, when he was told by Allah, I make you a Nabi, he did not say, will my children become Nabi also? I make you a Rasul, he did not say, will my children become Rasul also? But when Allah said, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama, I make you an imam over people, he immediately knew this was something special. He said, wa min dhurriyati, what about my descendants? Can you make them all imams? And Allah says, no. La yanalu ahdi dhalimin. This covenant will not come to the wrongdoers, to the unjust from your descendants. So first of all, when you want to know who from Ali Ibrahim are the ones who have been given Mulkan Azim, who have been given Imamat, they should not be Zalimeen. And they should have the Kitab and the Hikmah. They should have the knowledge of the book and the wisdom. They should be able to sit before anyone and say, Saluni, Saluni, Qablan Tafqiduni. The Prophet of Islam said that a son is a blessing, is a ni'mah, but a daughter is a mercy, is a rahmah. The other hadith of the Prophet is that in the battle of Khandaq, when Imam Ali alayhi salam was going to fight against Amr bin Abdiwad, the Prophet said, Baraza al-Imanu kull ala al-kufri kulli. Complete Iman has now gone forward to fight against complete kufr. The other hadith of the Prophet is that a man's Iman is incomplete until he gets married. The other hadith of the Prophet is that the feet of a mother are jannat for her children. The other hadith of the Prophet is Al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyidi Shababi Ahlil Jannah. The ayat of Quran is وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as a mercy for Alameen. Now bring all this together and see Fatima in this light. A daughter is rahmah for the father. The Prophet is rahmatun lil'alameen. Fatima is rahmah for rahmatun lil'alameen. Ali is complete Iman, but a man's Iman is completed when he gets married. Fatima completes the Iman of kul Iman. And Hassan and Hussein are Sayyidi Shababi Ahlil Jannah. But Fatima's feet are Jannah for Hassan and Hussein. How then do you describe a lady who is rahma for rahmatul lil alameen, who completes the iman of kul iman, whose feet is jannah for sayyidi shababi ahl jannah?